privilege to come by.
Early this morning, I woke up early, before you did. Long time. Rolled over in the bed, checked the watch, checked the clock, see what time it was. I said, Lord, I sure would like to be used today. About 3:30, I said, you use me today. I've been sick, you know, for 2 days.
Yeah.
I feel good today, though.
Amen.
And then about 4:30, 5, I had another little prayer time. And we went up and went down and got breakfast. I don't know if you even want to know all this. There's a television there running. We went down there last night and set it yesterday afternoon, sat and waited and had some trash on. We don't have a TV. We don't. But when you get around where the thing's running, you can't keep you looking at it. So we turned it down so we couldn't hear the cussing. But this morning there's a preacher on. He wasn't even our kind. And I watched them come in that room to eat, and they didn't even care. My wife said, honey, can you turn it up? I said, no. You make everybody mad, they'll be mad. So we just kind of listened. God dealt with my heart.
Amen.
I'll try to share that with you for a little while.
Amen.
You know, I ain't never done this. I mean, I preached this message, but I'm going to try this today. Let me say a few things. Ephesians 2:6 says we're seated. No, don't turn there. I'm just warming my heart up. The Bible says we're seated already with Him in heavenlies. You could say I've already got ahead of myself. If you're saved, you're already there.
Yeah.
That ought to tell you you're going to get there.
That's right.
If you're saved.
Right.
You don't have to get ready to get there. You're already there if you're saved. And then he said in Psalm 84:11, these things come to my mind, Brother Joel, before I stood here or come here, and I thought they ought to be said from my heart. He said, no good thing will he withhold from them that will walk uprightly. I was in a very bad trauma unit, an ICU unit, a hospital with a man that was right at teetering between death and life. I mean, I'm talking about leaning more toward death than life. His wife was in there. I was standing there with them. And she got down on her knees at the wall. And she began to cry out to God in such a passionate manner. I turned up to God and I said, You can't deny that girl what she's praying. I don't know why I said that. But that boy fell back toward the life side. He was full of the devil. As mean as the devil could make a fella. Never changed. So I'm telling you today, buddy, you better be careful what you pray. But no good thing will he withhold for you. If you bear down on him and ask him, he'll answer your prayer. You may wish he hadn't. So it's best to think about what you're praying before you pray. But I watched God do that twice in my life. You can't say. I was in a church one time where they had a girl's home, an 18-year-old girl's getting ready to go home to her mother who was a harlot. And they were all burdened. She was going to go home, try to win her mother. You just don't get them one, do you? And they were praying for her, and I was preaching in, they were building a new auditorium, and I was in their old auditorium before it got ready. And I don't know what I preached, I have no idea. But all that church came in that altar and started. Them teenagers all got in the front, and I heard them crying out. And I remember to this day what I said, Brother Joel. I said, Lord, you can't tell them girls. Praying for that girl, you can't tell. She had gotten up and left the church, left the auditorium to call her mother to come and get her. I said, you can't tell them no. How are you going to tell them no? I want to watch you tell them no. She burst through the back and said, I'm not going home.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Do you believe me this morning?
Amen.
We're not part of an outfit that don't believe.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we're so blessed.
Amen.
This cannot be just business as usual.
That's right.
Tell you, it's a big deal.
That's right.
I'm talking about being with the Lord. It occurred to me in John 14 that they may be with me. That where I am there, you may be also. But I'm telling you, when he got to John 17, said it again.
Uh-huh.
You know what? He's just longing for us to get together.
Yes.
He really is.
Yes.
And that tells me we sung the first song this morning, Glad Reunion Day, Danny.
Yes.
Do you know that every time we come together in church, it's a picture of that wonderful day when we get back together again, and we love on, and we're together and singing the songs. We're not cussing and watching the garbage. We're together in Christ. What a day, what a day. We ought to make God's day the day of our life.
Amen.
Oh, what a day, what a day. That glad reunion day.
Amen.
We get a taste of it when we come to church.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Amen.
Don't lay out on Sunday night and Wednesday night.
Amen.
It's a picture, it's a taste of us getting together. Loving one another.
Amen.
What a glad reunion day.
Amen.
I want you to turn to Lamentations. Book of Lamentations. Early this morning, I asked for his help. I sat there and watched that man preach. He used the wrong Bible, and I really don't have a lot of use for the man. I know who he is. He's preaching that story of that prodigal son. I heard him say at the end, it's not what drew him away. It's coming home that matters.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
God didn't say if. It's just when you come home.
Amen.
If you do this, you can't. If you do that, you can't. He never did say that.
No.
Big if is when you come home.
Amen.
Oh, what a day. I want you to see the verse that I'm going to use, and I'm going to talk to you about the context, and then if God will help me, I'm going to preach to you the application of our life. In verse 12, I remember 1971, I went to Bible college. I don't know how long it took us to get to Lamentations, but we studied Lamentations. About 73, the man taught us Lamentations, whoever it was, I don't know. But I remember he made a point of this text, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And he made application, had nothing to do with the text. He's talking about people passing by Jesus while he hung on a cross, wagging their heads. And look, if you would look at this, I'm not going to take time to mess with it. But if you would read that whole chapter, I read it this morning. If you read it all, it bound down through from 1 down through 6, it's a picture of how disgraceful it's all turned out to be. Jerusalem is weeping, and she's saying, look at what we are. We're so abused and mistreated. In verse 7 down through about 9 or 10, somewhere there, she begins to somewhat... She remembers the days when it wasn't that way. She starts remembering the days and what brought it on. And then she said, such a disgrace. She comes and says, don't it bother you all that we're destroyed? Does it not bother you, the destruction that's come to us? And that's really a good picture of sinners crying and saying, don't you care? She said, I looked on the left, looked on the right, no man cared. You know, that's really, really the context right there, Brother Joel. It goes on down, and then she gets down her little ways, and she says, you know, I tell you why I'm like this. I brought it on myself. That's what she does. Praise God for a day when you say, I brought it on myself.
Right.
It's my sin. It's not what they did to me. It's my sin that found me out.
Right.
He made a rule that your sin, it's not my sin that'll find you out. It's your sin that'll cause you all your trouble. And then, you're closing end of it. Something about maybe a little grace there. And I want to talk to you about, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? My mind goes back to, here we sit this morning. We can make a great difference. You've got a good church, a great church, and I love you. I love you, Pastor. I love y'all. I like your old-time way. I came a long way to get here. I've said that a lot of times. I come a long way to get here.
Right.
I was trained a whole different way, in a different Bible, in a different way, all kinds of things, all way off yonder somewhere. But, oh, I bless the name of the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
He just kept ringing the bell and pulling me a little here and a little there.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God is God, Brother Joel.
Amen.
We ought never let it just pass by.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we are so blessed about this whole thing. We cannot just let it be that business as usual. Every church service ought to be wide open. Now to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Psalms ringing in us in the house of God. You ought to be shouting in praise. And you know why it's not that way? Because it's not that way at home. You've got to worship Him. You can't worry about who won the ball game. And you can't worry about who's in the race. You have got to somehow or another turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow plumb, dull, and grim in the light of His glory and grace. It's nothing to us. We cannot become part of that. And it's nothing to us that as we pass by our lives. It can't be nothing. You can't just come to church humdrumly and go home. Does it not occur to you that Almighty God came to you to win you and bring you to Him?
Right.
Oh, my. It don't mean nothing, hardly nobody. I determined, Brother Hyde, I will not let this fire go out in my life.
Right.
I'm going to sing. I'm going to find somehow to sing. I want to be reminded where He brought me from.
Amen.
And where I might have been.
Praise
the Lord. Oh, my. If He hadn't come to me, if He had not come to me, I'd be in hell today probably.
Right. Right.
It cannot be just nothing to me. He cannot be just passing stuff. He found me as a sinner.
Right.
And you know, you can look around and say, well, I wasn't a thief, like that song says. You can say, I wasn't a thief, wasn't a liar. I didn't kill nobody, no drugs. But she said in that song, but I lived in sin's prison.
That's right.
And I was lost as a sinner could be.
Oh, yes.
I tell you, I got a little girl this morning in church. She's the best kid I reckon I could have raised. She's in church. She got saved. I know you like me, you don't really expect people to get saved when they're six. But you try to shake her if you want to.
Uh-huh.
But her testimony is she feels like a worse sinner in the church. She remembered her little thoughts back as a six-year-old. Little wicked thoughts. Little desires that God don't want you to have. They run through her little mind and she cried May Day early. And God saved her. I don't know how, but I know He can.
Yes.
She's doubted it one time. She said, I done what you said. If I ain't saved, it's because you didn't mean what you said. That's the last time she doubted. I like it. That's exactly how it is. And you can't just let it dismiss it from your mind. When you come to church this morning, you got to remember where you came from.
Right.
Brother Joel, I read in all the time. I pray almost without ceasing. Hours and hours every day.
Amen.
But the greatest thing, he said, I'm seeking those to worship me in spirit and in truth. That's a little S.
Yeah.
That don't mean in the Holy Spirit. That means in my heart. My heart wants to worship Him.
Yeah.
And I'll say, Lord, I want to worship You today. And without any exception to it, ladies and gentlemen, without ever exception, He brings me back to where I was when He found me. Oh, my wicked little heart was so evil. Oh, Brother Wayne, I was 13 years old. I was 7 when I knew that I was a sinner. And it took Him 6 years to give me the gospel. But He finally got it to me, buddy. And I tell you, He saved my old wretched, wicked, hollow down, hopeless soul. I was sinking deep in sin. I far from the peaceful shore. I hadn't forgot a bit of it. I'm 61 years old now. 50, I'm from that day. I'm 74. So at 13 years old, that's how long I've known. I he'd forgot what I was when He found me.
Thank God.
I know how bad it was when I was 6, standing at the northeast corner of the cistern in an old country home, under some gum trees, standing there, and oh, buddy, the conviction of God came. I don't even know how he did that. I must have heard it somewhere. I don't even know how he did that. We didn't go to church much. I'm wore out, but I tell you, I know what I'm telling you is right. Standing on the corner of that old cistern, my heart was so condemned, and I knowed I was going to hell, capital H or any other way. Burning, fiery, blistering hell. Screaming for help and a drop of water. And I said, ain't no hope for me. And I said, I've gone so far. Do you not remember when you were, when he found you?
Oh, yes. Praise God.
He had begun a good work in me right there. I wasn't saved. But he started.
That's right.
Amen. Don't you remember? So I said, I'll just eat, drink, and be merry and make the best out of a stupid life and die and go to hell. I'll get all I can out of life and die and go to hell. But he which hath begun kept on moving. Does that not? It can never be. Is it nothing to you that passed by? That can never be that to me, Brother Joel. I can never just sit out on a pew and sing a few songs. I was praying one day. I learned to pray. I found the answer. I learned to pray. I was praying one day out in the woods. I looked up at him and said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, you read a whole song. I went back home, got the song out. Every bit of it's right. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it can never just be something passing by. We've got to know it's a special day. Every day's a special day. Every minute's got to be a special minute. If you let it die down to just stagnated water, you're going to be just like the rest of the crowd.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I remember when he saved me. He brings me back to those old wicked days. Well, you got saved. That ought to take care of it. I thought it made me perfect. Well, it did in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
But it didn't in my real life. Uh-huh. I thought I was perfect. It took about a year and a half to show me I wasn't perfect. Uh-huh. He showed me so good, I thought, well, there ain't nothing to this. And I spent some time away from God. I'm going to tell you what he did one day. With a chip on my shoulder, Totsie said, will you go back to church? Will you go to church with me and the girls? With a chip on my shoulder, I went back. But that day, the chip got took care of. I was at home. Oh, then Brother Joel went through. I was called to preach. I did everything that church would do. I couldn't get enough of that wonderful stuff. I read my Bible every day. I give my tithes. I prayed every day. I tried to tell somebody about the Lord. I ain't talking about winning them to the Lord. I mean, just tell them there is a God. You better pay attention to that. You better not just pass by that.
That's right.
You can get out of hell if you want to. You'll go to hell if you want to. You'll get out if you want to. Cry May Day. He'll give you something you can't handle.
That's right.
I prayed all the time. Done everything they did, and then God called me to preach. I was a deacon. I was everything to do. I was saved. Went off to school, 30-some-year-old man. How you go to school when you're 30 years old and got two or three kids? I didn't know anybody done that. And trained in the wrong Bible. All that stuff. And then I got out pastoring the church. And I had them thoughts that had generated when I was a little boy. Still in there stewing around in my mind. How could God love a sick devil like me? Save me. Not only save me, but call me to preach. And that stuff in my mind. And I never did do anything, but it was in my mind. It was that stewing filth in my mind. I couldn't get it out of there. You listen to me, young fellas, all of you. Old B.H. Carroll preached a message called, Oh, the Beginnings, the Beginnings. He said, when you open your mind to evil, it'll take God, if it ever does close, it'll take God to close that door.
That's right.
if it ever does close. I've talked to hundreds. I've been preaching 46 years. I've talked to hundreds of people who agree with me every bit I'm saying. When you open that door, I'm telling you, you can't close it. God will have to close it if it ever gets closed. You better hear me. You play the game little. You will play it all your life. I just wrote a text to a boy trying to save his kid from a life of misery. And she's fallen in love with a boy that's completely harebrained and crazy. She thinks she can help him. Ladies, probably not a lady in here wouldn't preach what I'm going to say now. You can't change him after you get him.
Right.
What he started as a kid, you got to deal with it till it's over with.
Right.
Boy, I know women are married to devils now.
Yeah.
They were tiny devils when they got them.
Right.
They didn't stay tiny devils.
That's right.
The real you finally stood up and gave them more trouble than they could handle. Huh? And what you start as a little child outside behind mama's daddy's back, you'll have to deal with it. That's what God brought up in my mind. He said, you're a preacher, look at your mind. That wicked mind rolling. And I went in depression. I said, God, you can't love me. Surely you can't love me. He'd say, yes, I do. I do love you. And I'd say, I can't leave you alone. I can't leave you alone. You got to clean this up. I can't live like this. The Bible said, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You ain't going to believe me. And I'm not being mean. But you can be as good, buddy, as an angel on the outside and be dead men's bones on the inside. Just like a whited sepulcher is what he called them. He said, your outside looks good, but your inside is rotten. And that's what God was saying to me, Brother Joel. This mind thing. I bet you if I give an invitation, you'd get real honest about it. There ain't a man in here, I don't know how a woman's mind is, but they're probably close. Wouldn't be on this altar saying, God, help me. God, help me. I went out in that field crying. I said, God, if you don't help me, I'm going to die in this field. And God came in that field and helped me. Now I'm going to tell you, when I go to pray, I say, Lord, I want to worship you.
That's right.
And he takes me back.
That's right.
Before I was even saved. And what brought me under conviction, I got under conviction, something I did. And all the way up till I was 13, and then when I got saved, he keeps showing me that mind. Showing me that mind. And before long, I'm on my face saying, oh, what a wonderful change
right,
in my
God.
Life
Amen.
Has been brought. Oh, since Jesus came into my Amen. Heart, I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came in my heart. It cannot ever be just passing by. It's got to be special every time you come in. And you know this, I'm going to quit preaching, but I'm going to tell you who's going to make the difference. You're going to have to make it.
That's right.
Ain't nobody going to do that for you.
No.
And you got to go against the grain.
That's right.
You're going to have to do something that the others are not going to do.
That's
this
right.
can't be, you just can't be gray. You know, it's either black or white, gray, lukewarm, not hot, not cold, lukewarm. I just ain't going to do that. I just made up my mind, I'm going to be hot or not.
I agree.
I told the Lord many times in these last 10 or 15 years, I don't care what you do with me, but don't let me die a deadhead.
Right.
I don't want to I don't want to die a deadhead. I don't want to die without a song in my heart.
Right.
I don't want to die down and out and mully grubbing. I want to die with my head up and a smile on my face looking forward. I don't want nobody to shoot me full of dope when I die till I can't glorify God in my deathbed.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
I'm not worried about a graveyard. I'm worried about your graveyard.
That's right.
Not mine. And so today, I'm just trying to encourage you to don't let your church, don't let your life be so what?
Yeah.
Just any other old deal. Well, you know, I'm doing all right. Look how he's doing. I'm doing that good anyway. That don't matter. That's not right.
That's right.
It's not right. It's me and God. And you came here this morning. I sit right back there. And I said, I never have felt worthy to preach the gospel. I never felt like I'd done a good job. I always felt unwanted. I always felt like the stepchild that nobody wanted. But I said, if you'd just let me preach about you this morning.
Amen.
And tell them about somebody I love more than I love anything. Anything.
Yes.
I'd sure try to do my best. Now I want to ask you something. Has it made any difference in your life that God has reminded you that this is just lukewarm? It ought never be lukewarm.
No.
Get up and shout or something. Tear the walls up. Oh, John Rawlins, I heard him say a lot of times, go home and have revival. I'm not a John Rawlins man. He said, go home and have revival. He said, tear the doors off and fire somebody. Just tear it up so that everybody has to start all over again. And I went in his office one day and sat down. And he said, he reared back, he strutted a lot. You know, I don't know how that fits in God's deal. God don't like strutters.
Right.
He said, fire somebody, tear the doors off, burn the house down, do something. He said, I just fired 28 staff members, one of them my brother-in-law. He said, Brother John, I've been with you the whole time. Yes, he said, you've been a burr under my saddle the whole time. Out of here, you're gone. I said, well, you know, that's what he said. You can have revival. Tear up Jack, do something crazy. Don't be lukewarm. Get up and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. Let everybody sit still. I'll just praise the Lord if you want to. You know what? It's kind of catching. Somebody will say, you know what? If he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. Next thing you know, you got a fire burning.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
You start a fire with a little piece of kindling. One of these young guys don't care whether you like it or not.
Right.
Put a little kindling down, lay an old log next to it, two or three little pieces of kindling, directly one of them old logs will catch on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they might pop a, you know. We may not be able to run the aisle. I can't run the aisle. But I tell you what, I still got a good voice.
Yes,
and every now and then I try to blow a cork somewhere.
Amen.
You're in church this morning. This is prefiguring what a glad reunion day. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We've already been found and brought home. Love of God's already sealed you up with the Holy Ghost. Put your name down and never will take it off. Man, you can't lose. Ain't a reason. Say, Brother Wayne, you don't know what I'm going through. You're going through it. Don't you worry about it. You'll get through it.
Amen.
If you start in the first grade, you'll graduate with honors.
Amen.
He will not let you go.
Amen.
He'll get you through it, man.
Amen.
I've been in every kind of twist there is, and the Holy God of heaven has brought me through every one of them. I saw no hope.
Yes.
But He brought me through them all. I praise the Lord for His good name. Come on, preacher, you got it. Thank you. Thank you, preacher. Let me preach.
I love you, brother. I love you too. I love you.